hearing this gospel lesson today should help us to take a little time travel. Not far, just a few weeks ago. Because this portion of John's gospel reminds us of a scene that was painted by John on Maundy Thursday evening, when we gathered here to celebrate the Holy Eucharist, and we heard John's narrative, John's reminiscence of how he saw Jesus at the Last Supper. John's retelling of all of this is very different than other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. For in those Gospels, we get the intimation all about the supper itself. In fact, the words that we hear every time we come to the Holy Table, on the night before he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and so on. We don't hear those words in John's gospel. But rather, John seeks not to focus primarily on the action of Jesus during that supper, but on what Jesus did before the supper began. We don't have the entire passage before us, but in our time travel, perhaps it is important for us to remember that about this time in this event was when Jesus, the master teacher, the Lord of the disciples that were there, took off his tunic, bound himself with a towel, and went out about the business of washing his disciples' feet. When that passage comes forward, we might talk a little bit about how that was a necessary element of hospitality in Palestinian homes in the time of Jesus. Because people traveled dusty, dirty roads, and when you came in to share a dinner and you were reclining at a table, nobody wanted dirty feet around. Usually this was the task of a lowly servant in the house. Somebody whose name the guests probably wouldn't know. Someone who would do their job and then disappear. But it was Jesus, the master teacher, the teacher of the disciples, who chose to take on this responsibility for himself. Now, this was not simply by default. It wasn't simply because there were no servants about to do this. Jesus did this with great intention and with great purpose. This, alongside everything else, was one of the things this master teacher went to teach his disciples. He says eventually, as we hear actually in the other Gospels as well, in one form or another, usually attached to a parable, if you would be the greatest in the kingdom of God, you must serve. You must be the least. In John's retelling of the Last Supper, Jesus doesn't just say these nice words, he does it. And maybe that's where the teaching is for us. Well, Father, you say, that's not even in the text for today. Well, we need to know that in order to understand what Jesus is saying. Because in today's text, we hear about how Jesus is going away, and God is glorifying him. And then he concludes with that lovely sentence, this is a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. Live in my love. You see, the two things actually are intimately connected. What Jesus is saying is that the way of the world, the way to the path of glory in the world, is not the way of the path of glory in the kingdom. The world would have us spend lots of our energy, lots of our resources, most of our time climbing up that ladder of success. And once we get to the pinnacle of whatever goal we had, we spend an awful lot of time and energy and resource staying there. Jesus is saying, that's not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is not to climb that ladder of success, not to seek earthly and worldly glory, but instead to become like the lowliest of servants. Jesus, in this moment, turned the values of the world on their head. Put everything upside down from what we might have learned from the time that we were young children, and what our teachers and our school and our culture teaches us is success, is actually not true. I'm not saying it's a lie, that's a different thing. But the way to truth, the way to the real meaning of life, the way to what really gives us contented hearts and hearts that are full of joy is the way of service. And that the measure of our love for one another is the degree to which we seek to serve one another. So when Jesus says, this is how they will know you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. What he is envisioning is a community of folk who strive not to be at the top and to be the manager of all, but rather everyone who strives to be a servant to all. Imagine what our world would be like if we took that to heart. If the world around us saw what we were doing and say, yes, that's the way. Would we have a war if we were at service to one another? Would we have abject poverty in our midst if our heart's only desire was to serve one another? Would we have the clawing and the fighting? Would we have the shooting and the violence? If every heart converted to Christ and saw its utmost purpose as service to one another, and in that way walked the way of love. Love, when Jesus teaches, is not sentimental. It is not about good feelings. It is about our earnest desires to see the very best, not for ourselves, but for someone else. We look at the world around us, and we can see all of the terrible things that are happening. War, poverty, senseless violence, racism, bigotry, political infighting, all of it. Do you think for a moment that if all of us, each and every one of us, made that our life's motto, that I live to serve, would these things be real anymore? Oh, Father, you say, it's an impossible task. Everybody doesn't think like Jesus. That's true. But you see, it has to start somewhere. And as far as Jesus is concerned, it has to start right here. For that's what he was telling his disciples at that supper, in that upper room, just a few of them sitting around the table. He was saying, if you truly want to be in the kingdom of God, if you truly want to be seen as a child of God, then your life needs to be filled with love, love for one another. And the way you show that is to serve each other, to wash one another's feet, to be ready and able, at the ready, to do what is necessary for the good of another. Not thinking of yourself or what you're going to get out of it, but rather simply because you are filled with love. There was a song, maybe some of us, I'm dating myself, I know. You know, it was sort of when guitars were very current in worship and that sort of thing. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. That was basically a quote of Jesus here. But how sincere was it? How sincere are we when we say, I love Jesus. I love my neighbor. And yet we leave the precincts of this beautiful building. We go out into the world and we get caught up in the dynamism and the works of the world. Jesus calls us apart from that. Jesus calls us to live a different way. Jesus calls us to turn the order of the world on its head. And where does it begin? Well, in the words of another song from that same era, it begins with me. Let there be peace on earth, we sing. Let it begin with me. We can't simply pray for God to come down and do God's magic. No, this is the hard work of converting hearts. And that conversion must start here and now in our own breast, where our hearts learn the way of love as Jesus taught, in the manner, the desire to serve. Not so that others would raise us up, but simply because we love. Jesus' teaching today is that he is going to a place where we cannot follow yet. And so he leaves us behind, leaves those disciples behind. He didn't abandon them, but rather he said, I will send to you an advocate. I will send to you the Spirit, and in the Spirit you become as I am. You will become my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my hands, my feet in this world, and to the four corners of the earth the gospel of love will be known, and it will be known by the way you live one among another. And the message that you take from this place into that world will make all the difference. It begins here, begins now, it begins with me. So as we approach this holy table and we hear those words on the night before he was betrayed, remember that that was only part of the story. And that we only got to that part of the story because Jesus was willing to set the example. By taking the form of a slave, doing the work of a servant, loving with all his heart, so much so that he would go to the cross, so much so that the power of that same Spirit was able then to transform him and to raise him from the dead in a way that he would never die again, and give us that promise that that same Spirit is ours already, simply for the asking, simply for the receiving. My friends, he gives you a new commandment. Not the way of the world, but the way of the kingdom. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you.